There is quite a lot of evidence anyway of God's existence, and too much might not be good for us.
Too much might not be good for us. Read it again. Too much evidence might not be good for us. Richard Swinburne is the recently retired holder of one of Britain's most prestigious professorships of theology and is a fellow of the British Academy. If it's a theologian you want, they don't come much more distinguished. Perhaps you don't want a theologian.
Swinburne wasn't the only theologian to disown the study after it had failed. The Reverend Raymond J. Lawrence was granted a generous tranche of op-ed space in the New York Times to explain why responsible religious leaders will breathe a sigh of relief that no evidence could be found of intercessory prayer having any effect. Would he have sung a different tune if the Benson study had succeeded in demonstrating the power of prayer? Maybe not, but you can be certain that plenty of other pastors and theologians would. The Reverend Lawrence's piece is chiefly memorable for the following revelation.
Recently, a colleague told me about a devout, well-educated woman who accused a doctor of malpractice in his treatment of her husband. During her husband's dying days, she charged, the doctor had failed to pray for him.
Other theologians joined Noma-inspired skeptics in contending that studying prayer in this way is a waste of money because supernatural influences are by definition beyond the reach of science. But, as the Templeton Foundation correctly recognised when it financed the study, the alleged power of intercessory prayer is, at least in principle, within the reach of science. A double-blind experiment can be done and was done. It could have yielded a positive result. And if it had, can you imagine that a single religious apologist would have dismissed it on the grounds that scientific research has no bearing on religious matters? Of course not. Needless to say, the negative results of the experiment will not shake the faithful. Bob Barth, the spiritual director of the Missouri Prayer Ministry, which supplies some of the experimental prayers, said,
a person of faith would say that this study is interesting, but we've been praying a long time, and we've seen prayer work, we know it works, and the research on prayer and spirituality is just getting started.
Yeah, right, we know from our faith that prayer works. So if evidence fails to show it, we'll just soldier on until finally we get the result we want. The Neville Chamberlain School of Evolutionists. A possible ulterior motive for those scientists who insist on Noma, the invulnerability to science of the God hypothesis, is a peculiarly American political agenda provoked by the threat of populist creationism. In parts of the United States, science is under attack from a well-organized, politically well-connected, and above all well-financed, opposition, and the teaching of evolution is in the front-line trench. Scientists could be forgiven for feeling threatened, because most research money comes ultimately from government, and elected representatives have to answer to the ignorant and prejudiced, as well as to the well-informed among their constituents. In response to such threats, an evolution defence lobby has sprung up, most notably represented by the National Centre for Science Education, NCSE, led by Eugenie Scott, indefatigable activist on behalf of science, who has recently produced her own book, Evolution versus Creationism. One of NCSE's main political objectives is to court and mobilise sensible religious opinion, mainstream churchmen and women who have no problem with evolution and may regard it as irrelevant to, or even in some strange way supportive of, their faith. It is to this mainstream of clergy, theologians and non-fundamentalist believers, embarrassed as they are by creationism because it brings religion into disrepute, that the evolution defence lobby tries to appeal. And one way to do this is to bend over backwards in their direction by espousing Noma, agree that science is completely non-threatening because it is disconnected from religion's claims. Another prominent luminary of what we might call the Neville Chamberlain School of Evolutionists is the philosopher Michael Ruse. Ruse has been an effective campaigner against creationism, both on paper and in court. He claims to be an atheist, but his article in Playboy takes the view that
we who love science must realise that the enemy of our enemies is our friend. Too often evolutionists spend time insulting would-be allies. This is especially true of secular evolutionists. Atheists spend more time running down sympathetic Christians than they do countering creationists. When John Paul II wrote a letter endorsing Darwinism, Richard Dawkins' response was simply that the Pope was a hypocrite, that he could not be genuine about science, and that Dawkins himself simply preferred an honest fundamentalist.